Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B. As per usual, coming at you from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And ladies and gentlemen, I just need to let you know that today was a fantastic and beautiful day. And I will need to ask my guest how the weather was in his area. But before I do that, let me introduce my guest. Corey Munson is Vice President at PCmatic. PCmatic has been in the industry for 20 years, and if I remember correctly, Corey, you've been at PCmatic for 15 years. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think June will be officially my 15th year here.
So. Okay. So a very dedicated, loyal worker there.
It's a great company to work for. I have a lot of fun. We're well-versed in working from home, so I can't complain.
All right. So before we get into our discussion, let me go ahead and ask first, before I ask about the weather, how are things where you are? You're in Des Moines, Iowa, right?
Yeah, in central Iowa here, you know, I think cautiously optimistic. You know, it's not as densely populated around here as it is in some of the major metropolitan areas. So, you know, I think the state has taken some necessary steps. We're not officially on the shelter in place status yet, but I think everyone here is doing what they're being asked to do, and we'll march on, I guess.
Okay. So yeah, here in Florida, I think our governor is trying to do martial law lockdown, which seems reasonable since we can't stop the kids from going on the beach.
Right.
It has been something here. So now I will go ahead and ask about the weather since I brought it up. And a lot of times we do ask how things are going in different parts of the world because Florida's paradise.
Definitely. Been there many times. One of my favorite places. Weather-wise here, it was a beautiful 70-degree spring day here in Iowa yesterday. And I'm looking out my window and it's rather overcast and probably 50. Mm-hmm. So you know, Iowa, if you don't like the weather, wait 24 hours and it'll be something different. So we're used to it.
Okay. All right. So as we get started, let me go ahead and do a little disclaimer here. So this was not a normal podcast setup that we did here. PCmatic was brought to me because I had attended a webinar, I believe it was last week, through SMB Nation, supporting MSPs through the coronavirus crisis. And I believe PCmatic was, I don't know if you guys sponsored it or if you're just the main presenter on it, but when I got contacted afterwards, I had to say, nope, I'm good. But if you want to come on the podcast and talk about what you guys are doing for the COVID-19, I'd be glad to have you on. So that's the disclaimer there. I don't actually use your product, but I heard you and asked you guys to come on, and here you are.
No, we appreciate the opportunity. We've got a good relationship with Harry over there at SMB Nation. He's been a great supporter of the MSP community. And when we originally launched into the channel about 5 or 6 years ago, he was one of our first contacts. So we continue a great relationship there.
Okay. And then one other thing I want to get out the way early, so it's not lingering in the listeners' minds. When I brought your name up to my focus group, that I usually will do before I do a podcast, I got a little bit of weird energy from them. So I wanted to at least address that with you. We've obviously talked about it before the show, so hopefully I'm not catching you too much off guard. But I got the comments about, oh, those are the guys that run those funky commercials. And a couple little people made comments about, oh, I think that's a scam, and I don't think they really do anything, and oh, they've got bad BBB reviews, blah, blah, blah. So I figured, let me ask you about it, and you can respond. I know you guys have been around a while, so it all can't be true, right?
No, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it. And there are a lot of misconceptions about who we are, and some of it may be just a byproduct of the fact that we're on TV. But the way, the best way to really address it is to take a look at where the company came from and how we got to where we are. Mm-hmm. And once we're able to have those conversations, it starts to make a lot more sense. Like you said, the company's been around for 20 years. It was originally founded by our current CEO, who was a senior vice president at Gateway. So if you remember, if you were one of those people that one of your first PCs was delivered to the house in a cow spotted box.
Yep.
He was responsible for global sales, marketing, and support at Gateway. And many of our original employees here at PCmatic worked for him at Gateway, myself included. So the culture of Gateway, if you recall what that was like, and even the business approach of Gateway, has a massive influence over who we are as a company today. But it also, you know, what Rob Chang, our CEO, saw there in support being one of his responsibilities was, as he left Gateway, he saw support costs going through the roof, where revenue was essentially flat. So as he left, one of the things he invested a lot of his time and resources in was, is there a way to give people a way to troubleshoot their own Windows PCs instead of having to wait on hold for 45 minutes or an hour waiting for a support tech? Knowing at the time, Windows PCs were pretty inefficient pieces of equipment. Fortunately, it's changed quite a bit. So really, he started the company with that intention of simply becoming a website and a kind of a go-to for people that wanted to troubleshoot their own PC-related problems. And to this day, a lot of the traffic we have to our site is to our forums, to people that are doing their own troubleshooting, to overclockers. We've got a big overclocker community. We even have a lot of traffic that comes to our site to run internet speed tests, which when I had my first cable modem installed, I want to say 15, 20 years ago, the guy who installed it didn't even know what company I worked for, actually went to our website to run a speed test after he installed it. So the company really has its roots in trying to give people access to tools to do a lot of their own troubleshooting. Over time, what we saw was we were able to develop some software around automating a lot of that troubleshooting and automating a lot of those kind of tweaks that could be done to those Windows machines. We took that to market, carved out a niche, went on TV with it. Unfortunately, what happened was you saw a lot of knockoff products come on the heels of that, and they were not good products. It wasn't good software. Weren't always reputable companies. And unfortunately, we got kind of painted with a broad brush of not being the folks that were on the front end with the best of intentions with good software. But sometimes we were painted with that broad brush of being the same as all these other products. So that's how we kind of came to where we are today. As Windows machines became more efficient and more self-sustaining, we realized there wasn't as much of a need for that kind of tool as there was better endpoint security products. We knew that antivirus software as it currently was and currently still is, isn't adequate to keep up with all the threats out there. So our focus has really shifted away from worrying about the performance and optimization of Windows boxes to developing our own endpoint security and a different approach to either replacing antivirus or supplementing and hardening endpoints. So that's really where our focus is now.
Okay.
We still have a big consumer piece of that, but the fastest growing segment of our business is the B2B side. We don't do any of that direct. We work it all through the channel and rely in many cases on MSPs to do a lot of that for us.
Okay. So before we get into that, I want to just go back and clarify. So the start was all consumer-based, obviously going on TV, going after the masses. And if I remember correctly, I don't remember the names of the other people and all of that stuff, but when you talk about performance and registry, so that was something that was promoted heavily as, you know, clean your computer, it'll run faster and all of that stuff. So that's the type of broad stroke that you're talking about being lumped into, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, it was the registry cleaning products, things like that. And I won't name names, but they were on national TV just like we happen to be. Right. People that actually took the time to evaluate the software and actually install it quickly saw that what we were doing was quite a bit different and more substantial. Those companies are nowhere to be found anymore, and we're since chased out of the market.
Right.
We still stay on TV. It's a great opportunity for us to communicate. The ads, sometimes people see them as hokey, homespun, whatever you want to call it. What I tell people is, if you look at our gateway roots, one of the last ads I remember our marketing team being a part of was our CEO driving a semi, lip syncing to a Devo song with a cow in the passenger seat. So there's something to be said for ads that are a little out of the norm, and they continue to do well for us, and it allows us to continue to grow. The cool part is, I think it started to give us some opportunities to look for ways we can integrate our MSP partners mm-hmm. into benefiting from that, because we have a lot of customers that reach out to us as a result of the TV ads, and they need more than just the software. They need managed services. They need somebody to manage their security in many cases. And that's one of the things we've invested a lot of time in on recently, is what would that look like? As we get these, how do we build our network of MSPs to share those opportunities with?
Okay. So why don't we go ahead and talk about what exactly is your endpoint security plan? Is it just endpoint security and a separate MSP program? Are they kind of the same? How does that work?
Sure. The foundation of our endpoint security product is the same. Our MSP platform is just simply enhanced by a cloud-based management console that gives our MSPs the opportunity to deploy and manage everything directly from that console. But the heart of the endpoint security, the real-time protection agent, is application whitelisting. So what we're doing is simply setting up a default deny. We're locking down all of these endpoints. If something attempts to execute on that endpoint that's not on our whitelist of known good applications, we'll block it from executing. So that in itself isn't a new concept. I mean, people can go out and implement that on their own right now. Traditionally, the knock has been that it's too hard to manage. You've got issues of false positives. It's not efficient, especially when MSPs are trying to be as efficient as possible. So what we've been able to do is automate pieces of that and streamline it. People know it's a good approach. It's generally regarded as kind of that gold standard for endpoint security, but most people shy away because they don't want the headaches associated with it.
Right.
We feel like we've been able to take that away.
Now, it's touted as a globally automated whitelist. So
mm-hmm.
is that saying that everybody pretty much gets the same whitelist to start, and then it's up to people like myself to tweak it for our users?
Great point. So what we start with as a baseline is we curate a list of all the known good applications out there from any number of sources, our own internal research, looking at the digital signatures and everything else. We've got that as the baseline. When one of our, we'll use our MSPs as an example, goes to deploy to a client, if there's something proprietary that they know that particular client is running, something that's unique that maybe we wouldn't typically see, they can add that to the whitelist locally. That then gets pushed up in through the cloud to our team. We also evaluate it. If it passes all of our standards, then we push that out globally across all of our customers that are using the software, so they can benefit from having visibility into that being a known good application as well. But the real difference is, instead of asking you as an MSP to constantly update that whitelist, we're always monitoring for changes to the applications, changes to digital signatures, things like that, so that you're not constantly dealing with false positives and having to refresh that list all the time.
Okay. And I just went off track here because I just remembered while I was doing my background on you guys, I noticed that there was a war between you guys and Malwarebytes in putting each other on whitelist or blacklist or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I realize it wasn't, you know, recent. It was a few years ago. Is that still happening? Yeah. How are you guys with Malwarebytes?
It's long since passed. It was a real interesting back and forth that ended up in some productive dialogue between the two companies, where they had some suggestions about the way we were presenting some of our scan results. We made some changes as a result of some of those suggestions and have since moved on. And to my knowledge, the heart of the issue is they were flagging us as a potentially unwanted program or a potentially unwanted application. We made some changes as a result of their feedback, and they pulled that flag. Okay. So we've moved on since then.
Okay. All right. So now going back to the MSP stuff. So you have the global white listing, you have the portal that's really geared towards MSPs. What, I guess, makes it different or easier to use your product as opposed to some of the others out there?
You know, you see the term thrown around a lot, but it was really built for MSPs with MSP feedback. We have a network of roughly 500 MSPs right now that we've built over the past few years. And we went in with our baseline platform, knowing what the standard requirements were going to be. But what we've been able to do is we're small enough and nimble enough that we've been able to solicit feedback from our MSPs and refine this platform along the way. So in terms of simply ease of use, efficiency, being able to pull reports, to be able to co-brand reports. I feel like we've really responded to what MSPs have told us they were looking for. So versus us just simply creating a product that we thought would be useful, we went to them and really refined what we've been doing. And I think the big difference is right now in terms of differentiating ourselves is the fact that what we're offering in terms of that whitelist approach, and we can even talk about some of the things we're doing with RDP. I know you and I kind of exchanged emails about that.
Right.
We're doing some things that are really good supplements to what a lot of our MSPs already have in their security stack. And some of the movement we're seeing at a federal, even state and local level in terms of some, if not standards, mandates around endpoint security, we feel like we give our MSPs access to some of that technology and make it really simple to deploy.
All right. So in terms of those MSP features, is it a multi-tenant console? So when we go in to look at something, that we can see all of our clients at once and then drill down into each of them as needed, or how does that work?
It's exactly what it is. You'll log on, have access to each of your customers, be able to drill down by department. You can segment and get as granular as you want. Decide on which features of our platform you want deployed by customer or even by subset of that customer as well. So we try to make sure you've got the keys to the car and you can use it as you need.
All right. And then what else did I notice in here? Oh, patching. So you guys, I saw there was a reference to patch management on your site.
Yeah, we don't get into Windows patch management or anything like that, but we do track 30 of the most common applications out there. What we'll do is we'll track for any patches that are available, pull them down, automatically install them, test to make sure they're installed correctly. It's just one of those things that maybe you've got another tool for it. Maybe you have a script set up. There's some things like that we're doing that allow you to automate it without having all those individual scripts. But, you know, a lot of our MSPs are either using us as a complement to what they currently have. In some cases, you know, we've had folks refer to us, our platform, as an RMM light, because we are doing things above and beyond just simply another antivirus option or the patching option. So if you're not going all the way down the RMM route, this is an option for some of the smaller shops out there too.
Okay. And then you mentioned something earlier that I had really taken note of that I wanted us to talk about, the RDP Lifeline.
Yeah, this is something that grew out of this communication and dialogue we've had with our MSPs, and ironically enough, given the state of the world, has become even more important. With RDP becoming such a big attack vector as it relates to ransomware over the last 12, 18 months, We had MSPs that were asking, hey, do you have an ability for us to more closely manage RDP or even potentially whitelist RDP sessions by device? And what we've been able to develop is a set of tools that allows just that. One, it scans for any open RDPs across the network, allows you to shut them down on the fly. We've developed what we call an RDP kill switch. So you can get a notification even through your smartphone, be able to pull it up, see an RDP session and be able to kill it on the fly, be able to schedule open RDP for certain thresholds, be able to limit it to certain devices that you want to have access through RDP. It's really kind of tightening the screws on any RDP access if it's something that you're going to leave open. In itself, it continues to be a big source of worry for a lot of people, especially now with all these people working from home. But it's been an extremely popular option, even standing alone. And we do have an option to split that off from our platform and install it separately. But it's been of big interest here as of late.
So how exactly would that work? Is there like a proxy that has to be set up, or do you have to set up a monitoring through, you know, a firewall or anything like that in terms of knowing what to look for that's, you know, good or bad in an RDP session?
Well, what we're really doing is just simply exposing what's there. Okay. We do rely on our users to evaluate whether it's good, bad, or otherwise. But the big thing we wanted to do was open up and expose what that traffic is. Unfortunately, some folks didn't even know that there was open RDP. I've had conversations with MSSPs recently that they were shocked by walking into a client realizing that the RDP was wide open to the internet and nobody even knew about it. And it wasn't just the fact that the RDP was open, right? It was what wasn't behind it. Horrible password hygiene. Maybe the firewall wasn't configured correctly behind it. So our big step was, let's expose all of that, give you some tools to be able to manage it. There's still going to be a component of you having to evaluate the session and whether it's valid or not.
Right. Because my first thought is I've got a customer that they've got anywhere from 50 to 70 RDP sessions going at a time over multiple servers. So my first thought is, how am I going to use this to manage those existing sessions while weeding out the bad ones? So I assume that there's some sort of, you know, IP list, or you mentioned device list, so you can, you know, authenticate particular devices through that.
It's exactly right, and unfortunately, I can't take it too far into the weeds on it. Okay. But it's exactly right. We've got the ability then to whitelist by device what device has the ability to access a particular open RDP session. Okay, and that's. Again, of particular interest right now, I think, given the state of all these home users right now.
Okay. All right. So my apologies for trying to ask you to dig in the weeds. Sometimes I just...
No, just not at all.
Thought,
not
like,
at all.
Let me ask. So
yeah,
let's switch gears. And one of the things that I really wanted to talk about when we talked about having you guys on is you had done a promotion during that webinar last week that you were going to offer free cybersecurity protection. And so I wanted to see if first if that was still available and what were the qualifications for people that needed to do that.
Definitely still available. I'll say that our intention with it was really, as this first hit, as a company, we wanted to do something to help. I think... You know, I mentioned this, I think, on Harry's session I was on. I turned on the TV the other night, and there were car companies, you know, pushing special promotions for buying new cars right now. And I thought, it seems kind of tone deaf, given the state of the world. I don't know who is actually considering buying a car right now in the middle of all this. But as we thought about it as a company, what can we do for our partners to best support them, knowing that they are dealing with issues internally with their own staffing and how they're going to continue as their own company, but also how they're trying to support their customers. All right, what could we do? So what we decided was, as it relates to our MSP partners, from now, actually a few weeks ago, on through the end of June, we're going to allow current and future partners to add as many endpoints or customers to the, to their accounts as they want at no cost. It's a fully functional version of the platform. There'll be no limitations to it whatsoever, but simply giving our partners and future partners access to the platform and saying, add as many as you need, anyone that will benefit from it. This will allow you to get access to it, and there's going to be no cost associated with it. As June rolls around, we'll sit down and review with each of our, those partners that took advantage of it, whether they want to proceed, whether they want to pull those endpoints off, whatever's best for them at that point. But that our main concern was coming up with a genuine way to respond that wasn't about, you know, trying to get more business. This was about finding out ways to help.
Well, I appreciate that because, I mean, I've had discussions with some of my clients. I've had discussions with the wife, and we've all talked about, you know, some of these commercials that were still on television weren't talking about, you know, helping at all. It was, now, granted, some right. of them, some of them are companies that are just figuring out how to stay afloat. So mm-hmm. trying to be sensitive to that, because we're all going to have to figure out, you know, how long can we survive if this were to extend out 2, 3, 4, 6 months or something like that. So, you know, that was something. The other thing was hearing companies talk about, you know, our first mission is your safety. And I'm like, your company has had nothing to do with safety ever. But you're, right. but you're going right. to like try to pivot on us and make it look like you're about safety. So in the sense of companies in our industry, you know, being able to say, yes, we've always been about security. We've always been about helping people work remotely and securely. So that was one of the reasons I started having some of the vendors on to talk about their response to, you know, the COVID-19. So you fall right into that category, and being able to offer something, you know, to us as an industry to help us help our customers, it's a pretty good thing.
Well, and I think one of the things we recognized right away was many of our partners needed something that they could quickly deploy, quickly act on. And not all security solutions, as I'm sure you're well aware, lend itself to being quickly deployed and quickly rolled out. So we feel like that's always been part of our advantage. And if, again, if we can give somebody access to our tools and that helps them, and then in turn helps them help their customers, great. It's a win-win for everybody then.
All right. And the link that I see for that is the PCmatic.com/COVID-19 link on your website, correct?
Yeah, if you go directly to that site, there are a couple registration buttons there that simply allows you to plug in your information. It'll get to my team. Our team will turn around and contact you and decide on what platform would work best and get you set up with our onboarding and our support team. That's another thing that our CEO really was mindful of, is as we made this offer available, is to really open up our support team and our onboarding team. So as our partners are servicing their customers or scrambling to service their customers, we've got a support crew that's dedicated to helping that process along. So it's not just the product. We're going to put some bodies behind it too to help out.
Okay. Now, is there anything that we failed to mention or I failed to ask you about that you want to expand on or talk about?
I don't think so. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about the company, because there are some misconceptions. And again, it grows out of the fact we're on TV, and not all security companies are on TV. I think the last competitor I was aware of, I don't know if it was Symantec, had the David Hasselhoff, Dolph Lundgren series that was kind of weird, but there aren't a lot of other antivirus cybersecurity companies out there advertising nationally on TV. So we always welcome the chance to sit down and talk about the company as a whole and what we're doing, both from a consumer and from a B2B perspective. So I welcome that. The other thing I would open up to your community is one of the things we've decided to focus on. And granted, we're not alone. Everybody is doing some sort of webinar every hour of the day, it seems like.
Yep.
But even prior to this, in the surveys we've done of our partners, they were always requesting more information and more sessions around sales skill building and marketing skill building, even deeper conversations with our developers about technology and what they would like to see going forward. So what we've committed to is on a weekly basis now, we're going to have a different session devoted to one of those topics. And it's not limited to just our own MSP community. We're going to open it up to the public at large. And I actually sat in on a session, it was earlier this week. It was just simply a very organic kind of town hall of about 50 MSPs. And I just kind of sat in the back and watched this thing. And it was very, very insightful listening to these folks talk to each other and dialogue about how they were coping and their plans going forward and even strategies in terms of how they foresee the end of this. We're going to try to facilitate those conversations too and try to keep sales out of it, try to keep discussions around our technology out of it. If they want to talk about it, we're more than happy to have those conversations any day of the week. But again, try to arm our partners and other MSPs out there that are, it sounds cliche, but literally on the front lines, trying to keep some of their customers going. And if we can help in any way, we're going to try to do it.
All right, Corey. I want to say thank you for coming on the show. And I will honestly say that, you know, I personally, even though I knew your name, I didn't remember why I knew the name. And I'm sure I saw some of those commercials. But of course, I really don't pay attention to computer commercials. So especially since who is that guy that talked about, you know, that life guy that, you know, hey, hack my Social Security number or whatever. Then he got hacked.
Oh, right.
So right. Like, mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm not paying attention. So I apologize for, you know, mentioning that. Like I said, I wanted to be open and honest with you and make sure that as soon as I heard that people were commenting a certain way, I, you know, want to make sure we talked about it because I'm sure I'll get some email afterwards.
We appreciate the chance to have that conversation, and we try to be as open and as transparent as we possibly can. It's from our CEO on down. We're firm believers in being open and honest about who we are and what we're trying to do.
Yep. And you are in the MSP community. That's where we are. And you seem to be doing well, and you're here for 20 years. So I figure if anybody's been around as long as I have, we're doing something right.
You got it.
So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, Corey Munson, Vice President at PCmatic, and their site that you can go to during the pandemic, PCmatic.com/COVID-19. And you can go there and sign up and look at everything, give them a call, and see if they can provide some stuff for you. We will be back next week with some regularly scheduled Hot Nuts Pro. We'll be back with our Florida Man feature and hopefully have some fun and some laughs. I want to say thank you to Corey, and everybody have yourselves a good night, good weekend, and until next time, holla!